Sports Radio 1290, CFRW, Winnipeg.
I'm still shaking right now. I'm just so honored to be included in this draft class.
A division of Bell Media. Real hockey talk with real hockey fans. This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Got something to say? Call in at 780-1290.
Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Shortly past 10:35 in the morning, Saturday morning, here on Sports Radio 1290. A reminder, this starting next Saturday, noon to 3, the new start time here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We'll be kicking off your NHL coverage, so you remember to set your alarm accordingly. You don't have to wake up at 9 a.m. anymore. Richie, you can shake off that hangover after a couple more hours.
Richie doesn't drink.
No, of course not. 12 noon next Saturday. Noon to 3 next Saturday here on Sports Radio 1290, the new home and time slot of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/Illegal Curve. You can also, of course, subscribe to the program on iTunes. Search for the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Subscribe. Get the show sent to your iPod each and every week automatically. And remember to check out IllegalCurve.com. Guys, I'm wearing the logo on my chest today. The jerseys were unveiled earlier this week at 17 Wing. Remus, you were there, so you might as well get in on the conversation. In fact, if anybody was watching it online, they were unveiling the jersey, and all really I could see until they unveiled the jersey was Remus standing directly in front of the camera. So I thought that
Remus's
was quite,
camera
that was
knapsack
quite impressive.
Bag.
I had no idea where the cameras were. I had so many texts saying, "Oh, I can see your bum," or "I can see nice knapsack." So it was too much. I was not expecting that.
Well, talk to us, as always, you're devilishly handsome as usual.
Reem, tell us about the whole thing, because you and Dave went and did an awesome job. You guys got lots of audio and interviews and pictures. You guys actually had to go through security clearances. What was that like with that suspicious grin of yours?
It was definitely quite an experience. I mean, I wasn't quite sure where 70 Wing was, but the Jets provide us with great directions. So we got, like any airport lineup, there's obviously quite a line going through. I mean, I think the CBC truck was getting searched ahead of us. But we go through. There's a bit of a line. So we're waiting about 10 minutes. So we get to the military policeman, and he says, "Who are you? Who are you with?" Just making sure I'm on the list, give him my ID. They let me through. It wasn't anything too significant. But there were two of those stops where they asked us name and for our ID to make sure we were, supposed to be in there.
Okay. Well, we're glad that you were able to make it in there. And, of course, yes, the coverage you provided was terrific. What were your first thoughts on the jerseys? I'll open this up to everybody. You saw that they came out of the Hercules. They were sporting the roads and the homes. And what were your first thoughts on it?
I think they're great. I mean, just on the topic of, of the presentation, you can say what you want about the logo or the jersey. But that was, I thought that was unique. It was authentic. And I thought it was a great idea. On the topic of the jerseys itself, I'm just glad we have jerseys already. I mean, people are nitpicking everything about them. Overall, I like them. I wouldn't give them a 10 out of 10, but I'd probably give them, a solid 8 out of 10.
Richie?
Yeah, they've grown on me a bit. I'm, again, partial to the old logo, so I'm an old-timer. But I don't mind them. I think that they're... I'll give them like a 7.5 out of 10. I think they're pretty solid. I don't love them though, so I can take that bias out of there in terms of the old logo, new logo. I like the old colors too. I don't love the kind of blue. I don't like the silver in there really, the kind of light blue. But take what you can get, right? My one issue is with the stripes on the. Maybe Remus can talk about this because he knows more about jerseys than I do. But usually the home and away jerseys are the same, right? And they're in terms of like, and this is different because one has the blue down the arm, and the other one doesn't have anything down the arm, right?
And you also interviewed the designer, Dominique Filion, is that his name?
I had a great interview.
That was a good interview.
Provided some nice insight. I think the thing with the jersey...
Interview's available at illegalcurve.com, incidentally.
I think the thing with the jersey was the whole process was very... obviously they had a lot less time than they normally
do. That was sped up.
It was very sped up, so they didn't... I don't think they went through... usually when you do a jersey, like when we're doing something, you'll go through a few options and then maybe select the best one, but I think...
How long did you... Let me ask you this, though. I read that. But I was like, if your only job is to make a jersey, how long does it take?
Well, how long did it take us to create the Illegal Curve, the new Illegal Curve logo, which will be unveiled soon enough?
Yeah, okay, sure. But
lost three friendships as a result.
You have a
result.
Couple of guys like doing it, and you're sitting there. You look over the logos. You decide what you want. I don't know.
In Cheveldayoff's speech, he said that it usually takes about 18 months, and they had about
That's a long time.
What are these people doing all the time?
That's your favorite question. A lot of lunches.
A lot of lunches.
18 months to make a logo.
I don't know. It takes a while.
Well, a jersey, not a logo. Jersey.
You already have the logo. You're just making the jersey. You're picking a color.
Yeah, you have to pick the color, make sure it matches with the brand identity. There's a lot of marketing. You have to make sure you have the right
materials.
You
have to also go through the NHL a lot. The NHL is...
18 months?
I don't know. I think as long as you go through the process of making the jersey, there's a lot of steps. You have to get the logo approved. You have to get this approved. You have to make sure other teams maybe don't have similar colors, stuff like that.
You know, Reem, what I thought was kind of interesting, too, and it wasn't talked about, you guys were taking pictures, and you basically had the jersey up before anybody and were announcing the colors. And what I thought was neat was the colors, polar blue and aviator blue, okay? And hold on. If people that thought what were the team names going to be if it wasn't the Jets, the number one choice actually, Mark Chipman wanted to call the team the Manitoba Polar Bears. And another choice that was actually in there that a lot of people don't know about is the Winnipeg or Manitoba Aviators. So what's neat about that is that
you tell me the difference between polar blue and navy blue?
No, I'm just saying that they managed to get the color of there's a little. They got that in there.
It's like saying my shirt isn't blue, but it's actually sky blue with a tinge of.
Drew, you got that. You got that shirt back in July. It's starting to fade. It's starting to look yellow.
I don't think it's starting to look the least bit yellow.
I love that
shirt,
Drew.
Sorry, guys.
They have some nicer shirts that have come out, though.
I know. I want to be.
Drew has some nice shirts. Like when Drew you go to Drew goes to a nice dinner. He's got some nice shirts. You got a nice collection. The Mendel collection.
So overall, why don't you go around the table and rank it?
Okay,
Richie, 10? I'm pretty sure we did that 3 minutes ago.
Yeah, I think we just did that. You guys gave it 7.
What did you say, Reem?
I think it's a good jersey. I like the dark one. I like the striping on the arm sleeves.
I like the striping on the sign me up for a stripe.
On the white, though. It doesn't make any sense.
I think it's getting a lot of complaints on the white.
The blue's fine.
I love the blue down the arms on the white. I love it.
But that's my point. It's different on the home and the away.
Yeah, it looks a bit out of place, but I still like it.
I think once you actually see it up close and in person, I think it'll look different than it does through the video.
And if
video
we give them another 17 months, I'm sure they would have got rid of the stripes.
I like the lettering and the font. I think that's also very nice.
Well, let's go. Are we going to go around the room? Let's start with Tim. Rank the jersey.
We just did that.
No, you didn't rank it.
I'm the only one who said anything yet. Let me get in here. Ranked.
I said I like it. It's a good jersey.
Give it a number.
A number? What do you mean? Can't give a number?
Sure. 7.5. I'm satisfied.
You copy my number.
You've got to put a little more thought into it, Remus.
I'm not quantifying it into a number. I'm just telling
you. That's exactly what we're doing.
By the way, we didn't talk about, before we get to Drew's ranking, which we don't really care about anyways. Yeah. But
nobody needs Drew's ranking.
Drew, we'll rank you. Remus, let's talk about you interviewing Nikolai Antropov and then calling him Eric because of your concussion.
Okay, well, we were wakeboarding. I was wakeboarding the first time. I got up. I was trying to switch from, I was going wrong foot forward, trying to put the right foot forward.
Yeah.
Did a nice face plant.
Oh, okay, so it's first time he gets up right away. So impressive. The guy who's driving that does, a lot of wakeboarding. He's like, wow, this is really impressive. Remus makes one turn, smokes a wave face plant. Just oh, is it hard? And then he was kind of groggy. Look what happened.
He played hockey too soon, and he had to sit out the rest of the game.
I was getting headaches from playing. So anyways, I guess it's Tuesday after the long weekend, and I guess I hadn't eaten for a while. It was hot out. It was sunny. I hadn't had water. And I had just finished up interviewing Eric Fair. It was a bit of a rush. It was exciting. So I'm talking to Nick Antropov, and I'm like, Nick, can I interview you? He's like, oh, yeah, sure, no problem. And so I start talking to him, and I guess I just was rushing into it. And I say, oh, Eric, blah, blah. He goes, oh, I'm Nick. And I was like, then all of a sudden my concussion starts coming back.
Yeah, the concussion, it flares up apparently.
Remus, we might want to consider putting you in a quiet room before next week's show.
It was kind of embarrassing.
This whole segment's been kind of embarrassing. Sorry. Let's go to commercial break. When we come back on the other side, we're going to spend a little more time talking about the Bogosian contract situation and the rest of the hockey world still to come. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on Sports Radio 1290.
That's Arctic Monkeys, right? When's that concert coming up? Soon? Is it sold out? To go to that. Arctic Monkeys rule.
Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show and
great band.
And music segment.
They are good.
Let's go some comments coming in about the jersey from Twitter. At James Gellett tweets at us.
Our boy James.
Gellett or Gellett?
I don't know if it's a hard G or a soft G.
Could be a Gillette.
Gillette?
Oh, it could be Gillette.
It could be a soft T also. I never really thought about
variations
that.
Variations on
we'll
a
see if James can send us the phonetic spelling of his last name.
Well, Drew's hooked on phonics, so.
Yeah, I love the home jersey. Love is capitalized. The blue and white is really clean. My only problem is the white jersey. If anyone wants to wear a white jersey for a white out, that blue yoke down the sleeves kind of takes some of the white out of the white outs.
I want to address that for James. James has got a good point there. I think that even though the NHL has made the away jersey, the dark jersey, the new home jersey, we already talked about this. There's going to be a whiteout, I think, on that first game.
I don't know about the first game. But
what do you mean the first game? There's going to be a whiteout on the first game? That's out of your mind?
Is it the second game, Drew?
It's a whiteout on the first game.
It's a playoff tradition.
What? You were the one that... Okay, I want next
Drew,
week we're going to have
the audio. How
next,
much?
Hold on.
Want to make a friendly bet?
Next week we're going to have the audio where I said what Drew just said, and then you guys both ganged up on me and said, there's for sure going to be a whiteout. I was the one that said it was a playoff tradition. You're backtracking, Drew.
I bet you a bobka.
I'm good.
Where can you get bobka in Winnipeg? Can you get bobka at Guns?
I don't know. Can you put it on the board?
Yeah, you can put it on the board. Comment from at North End, it's not on Twitter, just in the chat room at illegalcurve.com. Dan says the jerseys are a solid 9. They have a classy, clean look with a lasting look.
Yeah, it's a good jersey.
I think it looks like everything that they've done with the logo and the jersey reminds me. They want to be a team that's been around for 50 years. It's classic. It's traditional. Yeah. It's not cartoon-like.
They want to be a team that's been around for 50 years, just like Drew.
I was going to say that. I was processing in my head.
That was set up. See, now even guys in the chat room are setting us up.
Honestly, though, like we can't understand the way Drew can. When he was a Portage main for Bobby Hall's signing at his 15th birthday.
For the record, that James's last name is pronounced Gillette, like the
That's
the
what
razors.
I said. Yeah, I use Gillette Mach 3 Turbo.
What did you pronounce it as?
I thought it was Gillette.
Yeah, you're wrong. I thought so.
Yeah, so it was a hard G, soft T, hard G, hard T. Hard G, hard T. No, sorry, soft G, hard... It was a soft G. James, it's a hard G, soft T.
No, it's a soft G, hard T.
Exactly.
You should have stick to the soft ice cream part.
Anyways, let's go back to the Bogosian contract situation.
Yeah.
What's going to resolve this, really, at this point in time? If Doughty shouldn't be used as a... You know, a staking horse.
Comparable, yes.
Or a stalking horse, pardon me.
Staking horse?
A stalking horse. If he shouldn't be used as a stalking horse, what's going to resolve that? It seems like they've both drawn a line in the sand, and how do they bridge the gap?
Well, see, the leverage, I think, let me explain it from both sides' perspectives. The Jets are going to be bad. Okay, put it out there. Jets are going to be bad.
I don't agree with that, but
sure. Okay,
they're
going to
be bad.
We'll just disagree for a second. Jets are going to be bad. So if they don't have Bogosian, they'll be really bad, but they'll still be bad. So, do they have a playoff chance? Sure, everybody's got a playoff chance in the NHL.
Except the Leafs.
But when you're 6 points back of the playoffs in February, you're really not that good. You're just average or below average. Anyhow, so the Jets are going to be bad, so they could use him a year of development. He's one of their best defensemen. But they're going to be bad, and with him, they probably still won't make the playoffs, almost assuredly. Okay? Alternatively, you have Bogosian here, who says, well, I'm one of your best defensemen. I played up against the team's best players, and... I can make a certain amount of money. Maybe I'll make more money if I wait for a year and I'll make it up over the end of the contract, something like that. So his leverage, to me, his leverage is less than the Jets. But at the same time, both sides really, I mean, I think Bogosian is less leverage than the Jets do. Because the Jets are going to be bad, so while they can sign him, they also cannot sign him and get a higher draft pick.
They're going to be bad, so it doesn't really matter if they sign him or not.
Bogosian's leverage is less, but Bogosian's leverage is you're coming to a new city. He's one of your best young defensemen. He's one of your cornerstones, so to speak, as we believe him to be. You're not signing your cornerstone. Media pressure, public pressure, especially when the team's bad. So his leverage probably grows as the team, as training camp continues, as the team starts playing, if it gets down to that point, which I don't think it will. The Jets' leverage right now is pretty high, but it might lessen over the time. Either way, both these guys need each other. The Jets need Bogosian. Bogosian needs the Jets. I don't know what Bogosian is asking for, and I don't know if it's over term or money, or the combining the two in terms of that argument. I personally think a 2-year deal, I've mentioned it many times, would be 2.75, right around there. I've written the article about it on Illegal Curve. Is reasonable for both sides. I don't know what's taking so long. I don't know if Bob Murray is holding out for something. I don't know if there's trade in the offing in terms of wanting to get out of here. I have no clue. But it doesn't seem logical to me that these two are scuffling over money, because Bogosian hasn't been that good to demand that much money.
Exactly.
And the Jets could use a young defenseman who can log big minutes.
I didn't believe this, you know, earlier, but I'm starting to believe that, you know, it's possible. It's possible. I'm not saying that this is the case, but that Bogosian doesn't want to play here, because I agree with you.
I'm sort of beginning to think the same thing. I have no evidence of that whatsoever, but I'm sort of beginning to
either,
say the same thing.
And there's been rumblings, but Richie nailed it. Bogosian had 17 points last year and was minus 27. Now, given that he's that young...
Plus minus means nothing.
Yeah, plus minus doesn't mean anything.
But and I was going to say plus minus is a flawed statistic, but it was also on a bad defensive team, so you can't hold that against him. But I think Bogosian if it is the contract and not maybe that he doesn't even want to sign a contract, if it is the contract and the terms, I don't think it's the years, I think it is the money. But that, because I don't think that either side really wants 5 years or 7 years. I don't believe that. You guys might disagree with that. But I think that if Bogosian sees where he's at with this team and doesn't like it, we don't know when the last time they've talked was, and we don't know how much they've been talking. But the thing that concerns me about this is the Jets are a much worse team without Bogosian. They don't have, if you take Bogosian off of that D core, it's like Doughty. I mean, these guys
It's
not that bad,
but you're losing a top, you know, one of your top defensemen, and expect to be your best defenseman going forward for a number of years.
Exactly.
One or 1A, maybe with Enstrom, whatever.
Top three.
If you're Kevin Cheveldayoff, general manager, at what point do you maybe consider the option of a trade?
I think you always consider an option of a trade with every player on your team at all times. And if you're not doing that, you're not doing your job. If you can get better by trade, then you trade. You don't show any loyalty to the player. You know, in certain instances, especially in this case, there's certain players who you show the loyalty to and you can't get rid of. But Bogosian doesn't fall into that category. I don't think any player really in this organization right now falls into that category, because nobody's been here a while. You haven't entrenched yourself in the community and with your organization. I think if you're not trying to trade your player, then you're not doing your job. Now, having said that, do I think that there's an option of trade out there? I think absolutely there's a market for Zach Bogosian's services. The problem is people are going to lowball you right now because they think that, you know, you probably, you know, you don't have a ton of leverage in negotiations because you can't sign him, so he's not an asset to you on the ice right now. Alternatively, there also is the issue of you not only have to trade for the guy with Bogosian, but if a team's trading for Bogosian, they have to give up a good young asset, likely a forward and a solid defenseman. Yep. Not only that, they have to be able to agree on contract terms with Bogosian. So if talks are happening, which they may or may not be happening right now, it's a very complicated negotiation. You probably have to work out the player side first and then say, okay, we'll make this trade if the other team's probably saying, we'll make this trade if we can sign him. So they talk to Bob Murray, they see what the terms are. Maybe they don't agree with them. Maybe those conversations have happened, maybe they haven't. But at this point, there hasn't been much progress. And maybe Bogosian's not talking about how he wants to play in the city because he doesn't want to give up some of that leverage. Or maybe he doesn't want to play in the city. I can't tell, and I'm not sure, but they don't seem...
His agent has to know that Kevin Cheveldayoff and Craig Heisinger and Mark Chipman, the True North, Winnipeg Jets, they're not giving that guy $5 million a year.
No chance. And as they shouldn't.
No, they'd be crazy to. Yeah. They'd be absolutely insane to. If they're going to give... I mean, you can't screw up your whole philosophy based on one player. You just can't. It doesn't make any sense to give him $5 million a year.
Regardless of what happens, I'm starting to believe not only that, I don't know if he's going to be playing for the Jets. It's not looking... I mean, training camp starts in about 8 days. I mean, if he's not under contract, not being in training camp for a guy like him is not good. And, you know...
Agreed.
We're not sure, but it's starting to look like it's either going to be a... I don't know if you'd call it a holdout situation, or he's probably going to enter the majority of training camp and the preseason unsigned. And if you're unsigned at training camp...
If you want to find out, Richard had written extensively about Zach Bogosian in the off season, so you can just follow us on Twitter @IllegalCurve, and those articles have been tweeted up there as a repost, so you can refresh yourself and really break down the analysis of this contract situation.
Hey guys, Ladan Wheeler signed in early July, so
There's two differences. They both had arbitration eligibility. They both had that leverage.
It's true. Older,
Ladd,
too.
Ladd was a pending UFA the following year. Wheeler's is three years away from that, I believe, off the top of my head. I can check right now, actually. But at the end of the day, 3 years away, because he's an RFA after the next 2 years. And they seem like they both want to play here, but they're older players. They're playing on the top line. I don't think opportunity is an issue because Bogosian's going to get much of an opportunity here. I think logically, keeping Bogosian, as I wrote about on the articles you just mentioned, Drew, makes sense. The Jets don't have a ton of depth on defense. They don't have a ton of defensive prospects that are going to jump in. He's a top three pick. And, you know, you don't go back and evaluate a player based upon, you know, his pick and just keep him because he was a top pick. If he's not progressing, he's not progressing. But this, he's one of your top three defensemen. It's Bufflin, Enstrom, and Bogosian. You have to get a top number a forward for him, and even a solid stay-at-home defenseman, period. Mm-hmm. He can be offensive, defensive, whatever it may be. Will a team do that? Will a team give up players who are cost-effective in that regard? And by doing that, do you severely weaken your back end? Because remember, Oduya's a UFA after this year, Hainsey after the next 2 years, and then you're looking at, you know, are the other guys stepping up? You have Enstrom, you have Bufflin. Enstrom's a UFA after the next 2 years. Who do you have on the books? 3 years from now, all you have on the books, as I wrote in the article, is Bufflin at $5.2 million, Mark Stewart at $1.7 million, and then do you have Bogosian? And do Archer's called that prospect? Do Paul Postma as a prospect improve? Does Zach Ewan get to the point where he's ready to play at that point? This team isn't loaded with defensive prospects. So you don't really, well, it looks like a team's strength right now, the defense.
Yep.
In a couple of years, it may not be. And so that's why another reason why I would. And it's easier to get forwards, in my opinion, than quality defensemen. There's just more of them around.
And having said that, I'm starting to believe more and more that Bogosian isn't going to play here. Just a hunch or a feeling, I guess, that I'm starting to get. Because
for that to
there's
work,
been no progress at all.
For that to work, he has to be. The Jets have to find a great fit. So not only does he have to want to be traded, the Jets have to find a good fit, and the team has to be able to sign him with the money he wants. There's a lot of variables there that have to work, you know, that have to line up for this trade to actually happen. I don't think a trade happens, but I may be wrong.
We will wait and see. Let's head to commercial break. When we come back, we will talk about the Jets prospects camp, which gets underway in a number of hours. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on Sports Radio 1290.
Now.
Past 11 o'clock. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Who's that, Drew?
Another great band.
I have no idea.
The Strokes, man, from New York. Just like Bogosian.
I have. Right. You know I don't know music. Why would you bother to ask me that?
Because I knew you don't know music.
Exactly. It's just, you know, there you go. That's a good answer. I stopped listening to music when Paul Anka retired.
Drew, what are your thoughts on Engelbert Humperdinck?
I don't know. Really, I don't know.
Ezzy, why are you holding a trophy?
I want to know who won this trophy. Right now in the studio, we've got the Mona Lisa's 2010 Manitoba Media Grape Spitting Champion.
Oh, for sure, Lawless.
We know who won that one.
That's for sure, Lawless.
Lawless.
It's got to be Lawless.
It's undoubtedly Gary won that one. Let's talk about Gary's article in today's Free Press, where piecing together different conversations with various sources around the NHL, he sort of tries to give an example of what happened when Dustin Bufflin was arrested, but not yet charged. So that's important to make a note of.
Yes.
He was arrested for the boating while intoxicated.
Are you saying that Lawless reenacted the boating incident?
I don't think he necessarily reenacted it, but I think he, using his sources, he pieced it together.
So let's hear what happened.
It sounds like Dustin and his girlfriend and a couple other people were out for a meal on
Lake Minnesota.
Lake Minnetonka. Lake Minnetonka, and it sounds like the restaurant was a kind of restaurant where you can drive your boat up to the restaurant. So it's like
it's a nice concept.
Yeah, it's
novel concept.
It's on the shore, obviously, the restaurant.
Jersey Shore.
Yeah. They had a couple of drinks, by the sounds of it, and according to the article, and Gary stresses in the article that it's not 100% fact, so you know, don't take it as gospel, that he sounds like he had a couple of glasses of wine, and he was pulled over as part of a check stop that was taking place on the lake, and then that's where he refused to take the breathalyzer.
Yeah, which is fine.
Well, no, it's not fine. If you refuse to take a breathalyzer, it's an automatic arrest.
But why do they ask? Why do they give you an option then?
They don't give you an option.
They can't stick it down your. Yeah. They can't force you to take.
But when you say refuse, that means they asked him and he said no.
And that they refuse, but then you get arrested.
He wasn't arrested for the refusal, was he?
He was. Of course. When you refuse to take a breathalyzer, it's assumed that you're going to blow over and you're
as the article in the Free Press said, you're better off blowing it than not blowing it.
You do have rights to refuse it. Right?
Yeah, but they can. And they have the right to arrest you for it. Although, if I'm not mistaken,
I didn't know that.
I think you're better, and I could be. Actually, I'm not even going to go there because I think I'm going to be wrong. So I'm not going to touch it. Although, Richie, you're the lawyer, so you could maybe, if you know that you're going to blow over on a breathalyzer, aren't you better off refusing it and getting charged for that offense rather than blowing over and getting charged for that offense?
I'm not a criminal. I don't know. But regardless, you shouldn't be driving and drinking.
Obviously.
But let's just talk about the fact that his refusal is odd considering he's weighing in at 286 pounds and had two glasses of wine based on that.
He was 284 before the two glasses of wine.
If it's only two glasses of wine...
Even four glasses of wine for a man that size probably wouldn't
It would surprise me if you'd blow over
on
four glasses
though.
Of wine.
That's my point, though. If he only had two glasses of wine and they're asking him to take a breathalyzer, maybe he didn't think there was a point. He didn't want to incriminate himself.
Wait, if you're not worried about it, take the breathalyzer.
I've been breathalyzed.
If you're one of us, you'll have a bite.
We were leaving Super Spike a couple years ago, and there was a check stop, and I got pulled over, and they said, you have to take the breathalyzer.
Had a drink, and you were trembling in your boots.
Well, it's very nerve-wracking. It is a nerve-wracking experience.
You had a drink, and you were like, oh, my
Nobody
God.
Nobody has more of a clean record than Drew Mandel. Yeah.
I didn't have a drink, so I knew I wasn't going to... blow over or have any problems at all. But it's still a little nerve-wracking taking it. And, I mean, I blew a 0.0. I said to the police officer as we were walking back to the car, I said, you made a couple arrests today. He's like, yeah, we've had a very busy day. So, look, there's
it's
a point for the check
terrible.
Stops. It's terrible.
Absolutely, there should be check
stops. On the topic of that story, I thought you were being pulled over for your volleyball playing.
I'm actually a good volleyball player, believe it or not.
Drew, did you blow a 1.6 on the hot dog breathalyzer?
I'm a good volleyball player, for the record.
What's your forte, setting or bumping or spiking?
Serving.
You're a good server.
I'm a good server. Nice. I played in grade 7, you know.
Really? JW?
Yeah, 45 years ago, nice. The rules were completely different, and there was no net, so it didn't really matter. Yeah. But, so, I mean, the Buffalo thing will shake out, because
obviously, we're not trying to make light of drinking and boating. By the way, drinking and boating, people don't really realize, is far a bigger problem than people who don't go out. You know, any of us have cabins on any of those lakes, but if you go out there, it's very prevalent.
Well, Remus has a cabin
quite,
on the lake.
Quite disconcerting. And if you don't have anything to hide, you blow the breathalyzer and you do what you have to do. Now, we don't know the exact details, and we're speculating, so we'll move on to the rookie camp. But
Let's talk about the
to shed light on Gary's article.
Yeah, exactly. So that was an interesting article in today's Free Press. You can read it in its entirety at winnipegfreepress.com. Winnipeg Jets rookie camp gets underway today. Physicals probably taking place probably about now.
Yeah,
they probably started early at the MTS Iceplex. Physicals closed to the media, closed to the public. Probably started taking place a couple hours ago. The first practice today at the MTS Iceplex, 2 o'clock until 3 o'clock today, is the first practice. And then they again practice tomorrow, 10 a.m. until 11:30.
Dave and I will be there.
Until 11:30 in the morning. Coverage available, of course, on illegalcurve.com. And then they take off for Penticton, where they're going to be playing in the Young Stars tournament. Those games actually available here on Sports Radio 1290. So that's terrific that you'll be able to hear the beginnings of our broadcasts of the Winnipeg Jets games and the Young Stars tournament. Who of all the players that are invited to the prospects camp, is there anybody that you're really keeping an eye on more than anybody else?
I'll jump in here first, and then I'll let Richie get in because we might have different opinions. I think most of the eyes are going to be on Mark Scheifele, because he was the first round pick.
22 players invited to the
rookie camp. There's 22 players.
Camp.
And you know, we were talking a little bit about this before the show. And, you know, we were talking about how many of these guys are actually going to make the team. And is it going to be one? Is it going to be two? Is it going to be five? It's quite possible that it's none, but probably not. But I think the guy I'm going to be looking at the most is probably Klingberg. Carl Klingberg is a guy that, you know, IC's Kyle Kozier was very high on, based on his play in the World Juniors and the under-18 tournament. Klingberg's a guy that he's a gritty player. He doesn't have as much offensive upside, as other guys that have been drafted in his year. But he's probably a guy that I'm going to look at to see how he performs against other rookies. But, you know, there's a few guys. I mean, Jason Gregoire. You know, this is Jason Gregoire's first taste at pro hockey, but he's a guy that also played at UND and has a lot of offensive talent. So I would probably say that those two guys, Jason Gregoire, Klingberg, both left wingers. Klingberg can probably play other positions, but it'll be a good chance for the guys. There's Mark Scheifele, Zachary Yuen, I believe Austin Brassard, who was also drafted, is in there. Ivan Telegin, a guy that's probably most likely going to play in St. John's. He was signed, but it'll be interesting. I mean, we're not going to take too much stock into this tournament because it really is almost a showcase. Kevin Cheveldayoff and Craig Heisinger and Claude Noel, they're going to be watching these players and how they play and compete. But they already have plans for these guys. This isn't going to make or break any decisions, in my opinion.
See, I'm interested to see a guy like Michael Kirkpatrick. That's how to pronounce it, right?
Yep. Also signed by St. John's.
Yeah, but exactly. A free agent signing, a guy out of junior. Yep. See how he fares against his other other players.
Yep.
I'm interested to see a guy like that. You know, you draft guys, you're going to give them time, you're going to invest in them. But what about the guys you've signed? How much time are you going to give them?
Yep.
And are they worth it? And I'm interested to see how a guy like that plays. And I mentioned that on the Legal Curve,
yep,
about a guy like that. You know, and sure, Klingberg is also somebody that I'm interested in because he's such a physical player,
yep,
that he'd be a nice addition to this team. This team isn't the most physical up front.
Right.
I mean, you know, Ladd isn't afraid of contact. Wheeler isn't the most physical player. He's gotten more physical over the years. Little isn't that physical. Bremistrov isn't afraid of contact, but he's not the most physical. Kane is, you know, not afraid of it. We'll get in battles, but a guy who just go out there and just hit some bodies, and I like that idea, and I think that's interesting, especially if he's as big as strong as people say. Which I haven't seen him play, and Kyle's mentioned it before. Then he should have a pretty good time hitting these bodies around against these smaller, younger players, or you know, smaller meaning not as physically developed yet. That's interesting to me. Jason Gregoire is another one. Kyle thinks can jump right into the lineup. I'm interested in him too. There's a lot of, and obviously
Spencer Mrazek is a guy who's 22, I believe, maybe almost 23. He's a guy that spent the last 3 years in the AHL, 3 20 goal seasons. He's a guy that's almost on the cusp, but
he's not at the rookie camp.
Yeah, why would he be at the rookie camp?
Spencer Mrazek? No.
Is he?
Oh, really?
No, he's not at the rookie camp.
Why? Because of his 3 years of pro? He's only 22.
I'm looking at the roster right in front of me right
my
now.
My apologies.
He threw me off there.
Is Cormier's not there either?
No.
Okay. These guys are both still very young, but okay.
Yeah, they're very young.
My apologies.
But they're guys who are going to go to the main training camp and try and, I mean, look, none of these guys that are in the rookie camp really, well, Klingberg.
By the way,
Klingberg is the exception.
Cormier still qualifies as a rookie, Drew. So
I know. They still probably qualify
Klingberg
as rookies.
Klingberg and Gregoire are the two guys who may have a chance of cracking the lineup.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, Gregoire is the guy, you know, UND guy that they're very high on. You know, he's one of the undrafted college free agents.
No, he's not. He was on the
Islanders.
Pardon
me, on the Islanders. And the Islanders couldn't sign him. That's right.
The
Islanders couldn't
sign him. I believe that Blake Wheeler set a precedent for.
That's right.
He's a third-round pick out of the Islanders. He's a interesting case in that he's responsible defensively and has pretty good hands, and according to Kyle. Kyle's seen him play quite extensively. Thinks he can jump into a regular role. The kind of guy like that's great because you sign him, and he's already been developed by another organization.
That's right. You're reaping the rewards of their legwork.
Winnipeg guy wants to come home.
Of course, you never know how the Islanders develop a young player, so that could be problematic.
True also. But we also talk about these, you know, the young players in this tournament. Well, a guy like Gregoire, who's older than the other players, should be fairly dominant. And then that's something you look for. You know, it's when players are looking at, when scouts are looking at drafting guys. If you're overage and you're not performing that well against the younger players, well, then maybe you're not worth it, or, you know, signing guys, things like that. Yeah, you should be improving year by year, and you should be taking advantage of the younger players. And if you're not, that's worrisome.
Exactly. First game here on Sports Radio 1290 gets underway Monday, September 12th at 9:30 Winnipeg
time. Against the
Sharks,
right?
Against the San Jose Sharks prospects.
Yeah.
Then they play again Tuesday, 9:30 Winnipeg time against the Oilers. And then they play Thursday. It'll be a 1:30 in the afternoon start against the Canucks prospects. These games are very quick. They're about an hour or so long each. Maybe 90 minutes. They're very quick games. So, you know, if you're around your radio, and I assume that you will be tuned to Sports Radio 1290, be sure to listen in and catch our coverage of the Young Stars Tournament coming to you from Penticton, B.C.
Drew, just a quick note. Are the rookie games televised?
No, just radio.
I don't believe so.
But
right now,
the preseason
it's just radio.
Games are televised?
I think some of the preseason games will be on TSN TSN Local.
I just read on Canucks.com they'll be streamed live at Canucks.com and Sportsnet.ca, so we'll see how that works out.
Okay, there you go. Canucks.com is where you can find some of the rookie games. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on Sports Radio. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, 11:20 in the morning.
You know, Drew, hold on. You might like this band, Drew. My dad, who's 60, listens to this band. You're about the same age. Dandy Warhols.
Welcome back to the program. Worth noting, I've mentioned it a couple times already, next week and then going forward, 12 p.m. start until 3 p.m. in the afternoon. That's when the Illegal Curve Hockey Show will be on here at Sports Radio 1290. So be sure to check your set your calendars, change your alarms, everything else, noon until 3 on your Saturday afternoon.
We're the lead up to the H&L show.
That's right, the lead up to the lead up. And, of course, all of our game day coverage will be announced in the near future here on Sports Radio 1290, the home of the Winnipeg Jets. Coming up in about 10 minutes' time, Brian Munns, the radio voice of the Winnipeg Jets, is going to join us. You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/Illegal Curve. And, of course, you can subscribe to the show at on iTunes. Subscribe on iTunes. Search for the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Subscribe. And you can get the show sent to your iPod each and every week. Let's talk a little bit more about the Young Stars tournament that's coming up. We got about 10 minutes before that's going to happen. Do you think that's really how beneficial do you think these tournaments really are, or is it just much ado about nothing?
Well, they're beneficial, and there's they're not. Let's not. I'm not saying. I mean, there's a reason they have them. I don't think it's for, you know. Anyways, the Jets didn't have a rookie tournament like the other teams did, and I believe it was usually early July that the Thrashers.
You mean
had.
A rookie training camp, sort of a rookie skate.
Yeah,
rookie training camp.
So maybe it's more important for the Jets, but I don't think that this is important as far as I think people look at this in the wrong way. I think people look at this like a rookie training camp. When it's a rookie tournament, it's a bit of a showcase. So it's not important in picking players for the season. Some of these players might be invited to training camp based on how they play, but I think the main training camp is set because you got to understand, too, a lot of these guys are already committed to playing places. They're already committed to playing the AHL or back to junior, so that can always change, but, I mean, you don't want to overstate it.
People like to follow this stuff. It's interesting, especially for a team first time around, but, again, I wouldn't put too much stock into it. It means very little in the big scheme of things, and especially a small sample size of three games against other teams' rookies playing with players you've never played with before. Like, am I going to read that much into it? You haven't played with any of these guys before. Say you put Mark Scheifele on the line with Jason Gregoire. Have they ever played together? No. What do I expect from them? I don't know. It's a left winger and a center. You know, it's guys who haven't played, have no chemistry, playing against other guys who have no chemistry, playing short games. Like, how much do I read into that? I read very little, if anything, into that.
What about the draft combine? You're a huge fan of the draft combine.
Yeah, let's see how much we can bench press. That really makes a difference.
Yeah.
You know, Kevin Allen, as an aside, Kevin Allen had a tweet this week that Andrew Ladd said that Zach Bogosian's one of the best athletes he's ever seen. It's probably true. But back to reference to the combine, I don't care how good of an athlete you are, how good of a hockey player.
Yeah, you don't get paid $5 million if you're only worth $3 million because of your athletic ability.
Right.
It's how you
play hockey with a lot of good athletes over the years that weren't that good hockey players. And that's the one question about Zach Bogosian is that aspect between the ears. Sometimes people say they have questions about that.
You say between the ears?
Yeah.
Like the is your head into it? Is your head right? Is your head on right? It's a fair point. I mean, you know, I think a lot of it has to do with the mental game. You don't, for the most part, look, there's the superhuman guys who play in the NHL who are worlds better than everybody else. But for the most part, a lot of these guys, it's about their drive and their want and their give and their willingness to go that extra mile. Some guys are happy to be third line guys and make the third line money for a long, stable career. And other guys push themselves to that extra level so that they get compensated accordingly.
And Richie,
it's all about how you sort of slot in.
That's
Alex Semin is a guy that. A perfect example.
That's what might stand out at this rookie tournament. What kind of effort are you putting in when there's little on the line? These guys aren't competing for jobs, with the exception of maybe a few. So that's what they notice. How hard is a guy like Adam Lowry, who was just drafted and is going to go back to junior next year? What kind of effort does he put in? Ivan Telegin, what kind of effort does he put in? He's most likely going to play the entire season in the AHL. What does he do? That's more so what they're looking at.
Look at this article. I mean, we're going to talk about it later on, but now is a good enough time. Jason Bond Sr., he was a high draft pick of the Edmonton Oilers a number of years ago. I believe he was fourth overall, if I'm not mistaken.
A huge flop.
Right?
Yes, Jason Bond Sr. was fourth overall,
yeah.
I believe.
And he talks about, you know, how the organization, he believes, the organization's treatment of him really hindered his career from ever going anywhere.
Yeah, because he really turned his slang after the organization.
Well, I'm just saying that, you know, obviously
wasn't he part of that Roman Hamrlich trade to Tampa?
Yep.
It obviously works both ways that, you know, sometimes the organization, we've seen it, can ruin a young player. There are numerous organizations in the NHL that have the reputation as being rookie killers. They put their players in positions where they can't succeed. Do you think Nazem Kadri is going to materialize to be anything, to be a top six forward?
Maybe top six, but not the kind of player they thought he was going to be. I've never been a biggest fan of his game. That's a fair point, Drew. Rushing players can inhibit their ability to progress moving, you know, eventually. The one issue I have, though, is, you know, you're talking about the Toronto Maple Leafs, who've done it many times, Russian guys, even like Luke Shen, Russian guys like that.
Steve Sullivan is a perfect example.
Steve Sullivan. They got him from the Devils.
Not Steve Sullivan. Who am I thinking of?
He was
Steve Sullivan. He went for the Gilmore trade, right? It wasn't until he went to Chicago and he developed, because they rushed him when he wasn't around.
They cut ties with him too early.
They rushed him, I think.
Well, I don't know. Remember that trade, Drew? That Gilmore to the Devils for?
Well, Stevie Sullivan.
Jason Smith.
Right.
Alan McCauley.
Right. Well, those are the three guys. Exactly. I remember.
Yeah, I knew Jason Smith too much, too. They traded him for a third-round pick to the Edmonton, who paired him with, you know.
He was their captain in Edmonton for years.
Anyhow, we're getting off on a tangent there. But the point is, you know, rushing players. Now, Jason Monsignor, who made a lot of it, you know, made a lot of headlines about calling out the players on the Oilers' development team. Jason Monsignor got drafted by the Oilers and was put into the lineup in his first game in 94-95. Glenn Sather had a pretty good pedigree of developing young talent.
Yeah.
For the most part. You know, he only had, at that point, 5 cups developing all those young players.
Right.
And he went on to play in Tampa Bay, played 35 games in Tampa Bay, and then another 23 in 1998-99. The guy totaled 13 points in 58 games.
He had one goal in his
NHL
career.
Who was the problem? The guy, I know, Glenn Sather didn't have the best track record from, you know, the beginning of New York until about 3 or 4, you know, maybe post-lockout, pre-lockout. The period of his time in New York till pre-lockout, Glenn Sather didn't have the best, you know, resume. But am I taking Glenn Sather or Jason Monsignor, who never turned into anything?
But it goes back to talking about what's between the guy's ears. And that's how we got on this.
And I think
it's about the guy. Is he mentally prepared? Is he mentally tough enough?
But I think what we're saying is that they're interrelated. The player has to mix with the organization.
Absolutely. It's like any other relationship in life. If you're always at war with each other, look, there have been some instances where teams don't get along and everybody hates everybody and they still are so talented they come out and they succeed. But for the most part, it seems like you need a cohesive unit in order to achieve what you want as an individual and what the team wants as a collective.
And I would always err on the side of waiting longer to play to have your players play. They get experience in the AHL, they get experience in the CHL, even may sometimes get experience in the ECHL. But whatever it may be, Drew, the biggest point here in terms of this our team is that we're the third lowest cap spending team right now before Bogosian signs. You want to have cheap talent for as long as you want, and you want them when they're further developed.
Oh, absolutely. You want them to be ready to... look at the Red Wings. The Red Wings are the perfect example.
You argue about Mark Scheifele. You guys don't want to burn. You don't want to burn as a fan a year of his entry-level deal. Now, it doesn't help you. You're going to pay him a year earlier when in reality you're not going to be good anyways and he needs further development.
You know, if you want to emulate any organization in the NHL, the organization to emulate is the Detroit Red Wings. And they take forever to actually...
You know who does a very good job of that right now, too, is LA Kings.
Yeah, LA Kings, absolutely. You're right. But, talking about the Red Wings specifically, they develop their players in the minors, and they only put them into the lineup when it's in a position to succeed. And there's something to be said for that.
Now, on the other side of that, the Red Wings really haven't had a top draft pick who's pushed them to take the next step early enough.
Because they're always so good.
That team hasn't drafted well in years. People overrate their drafting ability. They haven't drafted that well in years. When was the last good Red Wings draft pick you saw get into the lineup?
Well, I mean, that's because they're drafting at the end of the first round every year. And if
draft at the end of the first round every year, they turn out talent. The Red Wings haven't drafted that well in years.
Richie, I agree with you that to a certain extent. The one guy that I liked that they drafted in the second round this year was Tomas Yurko, a Slovakian player who went a little bit later. But no, I think people are still hanging on to Zetterberg and Datsyuk. That was 12, 13 years ago?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But, I mean, they're doing something right because they continue to draft at the end of the first round every year.
I think the thing is,
overrated.
You know, to counter Richie's point.
You think the Red Wings organization is overrated?
I think their drafting ability is overrated.
Then how do you account for the fact that they're so successful every year?
They're
not acquiring all these guys by trade.
They have Nicholas Lidstrom, obviously, they drafted, this is like 20 years ago now.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, you're talking about recently. Who have they drafted recently? It's all been guys they've signed or built around their core, which is great. But reality, who have they developed that's that good? I mean, Cronwell's there.
Yeah.
Who else?
Datsyuk?
No, but we're talking about guys in the last 5 years,
recently.
Datsyuk was 12 years ago.
They're the Franz and those guys. Don't get me wrong. They do a good job, but they get talked about as if they're the best.
If you had to pick an organization to, I'm not talking about draft.
Flyers draft better than the Red Wings.
What organization would you emulate if you right now? If you're starting a franchise from scratch, what organization are you using as a blueprint to build your roster?
Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh?
But I like the way they do things. L.A., I like the way L.A. does things. I like the way Detroit does things. I just think that their scouts and their drafting is overrated. It's good, but it's not unbelievable.
Just drafting alone, I would agree with Richard. Flyers, up until the last 5 years, maybe the Devils, David Conte has done a good job, maybe struggled a little bit recently. Adam Larson was a great pick at number four.
That's a default.
And it's a brain-dead pick.
And LA
you could have made that pick.
And the L.A. Kings. Oh, if you look at who the L.A. Kings have drafted, Vyacheslav Voyanov, I believe is how you pronounce it, Loktionov. They've had some success drafting guys late. That's the key, drafting really guys late. I think the Wings, Drew, did do that for a while, but I think they...
Nashville does things really well.
They've fallen a little bit as far as rating them as the top. I think you got the Flyers and probably the Kings at the top now.
Let's leave it there. When we come back on the other side of these commercial messages, Brian Munns, the voice of the Winnipeg Jets here on Sports Radio 1290. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Shortly before 11:35 in the morning, we might as well go to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show hotline right now.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show hotline.
Let's welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, the radio voice of the Winnipeg Jets here on Sports Radio 1290, Brian Munns. First of all, congratulations, and second of all, welcome to Sports Radio 1290.
Good morning, guys. Good to talk to you.
Likewise, Brian. How are you this morning?
Good.
Good.
Another beautiful weekend. What more do you want?
Exactly. You know, a typical September Winnipeg weekend.
Yeah, just another part of what's been truly a great summer, I think, for the entire city and province. And rookie camp gets underway today on an afternoon where you're not really sure if you want to spend time in the hockey rink or not. But we're back into it here. It's September, and I think everybody's ready to go. So it's going to be a fun time. Today's kind of the Christmas Eve, you know, where you get to see a little bit of the taste of the young guys before flying to Penticton tomorrow for the Young Stars tournament, and then obviously with main camp getting underway next weekend.
Exactly right. And, you know, you mentioned that the rookie camp is underway or gets underway with the official skate in a couple hours. Let's start with that. You know, from your perspective, Brian, you know, what are you looking to sort of see? You know, what's going to catch your eye at rookie camp this next couple days?
Well, I think the two top names, obviously, are Carl Klingberg and Mark Scheifele. Those will be the ones that look to be having the most excitement based around them, just based on the fact that Klingberg played a game already in the National Hockey League, and Scheifele was the first ever pick for the Jets franchise since they relocated from Atlanta. So, you know, probably a little bit of unnecessary pressure on those two players just based on the fact of who they are and where they fit kind of inside the organization. But, you know, there's a lot of good young talent here that, you know, the nice part for Winnipeg is Atlanta struggled over the last few years, and that allowed the Thrashers to have some pretty good draft choices at the NHL entry draft, and they were able to take advantage of that and bring some good players into the organization here. So, you know, the week, Kevin Cheveldayoff talked yesterday about the fact where, you know, the games they'll play Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday against San Jose, Edmonton, and Vancouver, respectively. Yeah, you want to win. Anytime you're on the ice, you want to come out on the right side of the scoreboard, but it's all about evaluation. It's all about seeing how their younger players stack up against players who are at the same level that they're at now, you know, whether it be going back to junior or whether it's joining St. John's in the American League or maybe a long-shot opportunity to play in the NHL this year, see what they've got. And when you look down the rosters, there's no question that, you know, Calgary's probably got the most veteran-leaded team. They're bringing about seven or eight guys that were regulars last year with the Abbotsford Heat in the American Hockey League. Vancouver's got some familiar faces we saw play with the Moose last year. So the Jets are probably going to be one of the younger teams that's involved out of five. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how these young guys stack up.
The Jets announced the signing of Kyle Wellwood. And, you know, considering that main training camp, as you mentioned, starts in 8 days, you know, what in your opinion, what was True North thinking in signing Wellwood so close to training camp? Maybe what hole are they looking to fill with that signing?
Well, the nice part about Wellwood is he can play almost anywhere in your top 12 forwards. You know, he can be a really good skilled guy if you need it one night. If somebody else isn't going, he can jump into that top six, or he can just play a regular bottom six role who's got better skill than probably most of those guys do on any other team in that third or fourth line. So he brings a lot. He's a really good face-off guy. He's had success in that department. And as we've seen over the last couple of years, he excels in the shootout. You know, whether he's pulling a move or whether he's just letting his shot go. He seems to be really good when he's one-on-one with the goaltenders. So it's a really nice addition for the club this point of the season that, you know, a player of his caliber is available. And, you know, I'm excited to see what he looks like here in a Jets uniform. He had a great run with San Jose last year. I know during the regular season he didn't put up a lot of points that would catch a lot of people's eye, but really perform well for them in the playoffs. And as we all know, it's at playoff hockey when it really seems to matter.
Brian, for people who aren't that familiar with Coach Claude Noel, who you followed obviously as the play-by-play guy for the Moose, can you talk about what you think he brings to the table and how you think he's, you know, what his mantra is going to be kind of with this team moving forward?
Well, experience and communication, I think, are the two top words that come to my mind when I look at him. You know, he's been around for a long time. He's 55 years old. Mm-hmm. He's had success in the American Hockey League. He's got a taste of the NHL with the Columbus Blue Jackets. And he got really, I think, what's the right word for it? Kind of acclimatized here to Winnipeg and what the excitement level was for hockey here last year when it was the AHL, and then obviously when things really started to heat up when the Moose were in the playoffs last year about the possibility of whether it was Phoenix or Atlanta at that point coming in. I know it piqued his interest even more that, hey, you know, he's here and maybe that opportunity could present itself if the franchise did relocate. So, you know, it's really good in that department where he's got a lot of hockey knowledge. And the other part where I mentioned is communication. You know, he's kind of like that, I don't want to say grandpa figure, because that makes him probably seem like he's 70 or 80, but, you know, he's more interested in the individual, not just as a hockey player, but as a person as well, and I can speak to that firsthand, being so close to the organization last mm-hmm. year, being the only media member that traveled with them right. on the plane and on the bus for all 80 regular season games they played, and then through the playoffs in Hamilton and Cleveland against the Lake Erie Monsters. You know, it's not just, you know, what you're doing on the ice, but it's what you're doing off the ice. It's how your family's doing. And all that stuff is important, you know, because, yeah, now he's dealing with million-dollar athletes, but I think as we've all kind of really become awoken to here over the last 6 to 7 weeks with the tragedies that we've seen with Bugard, Rippon, and Bielak, and then the plane crash over in Russia here this past week, that, you know, everybody is, you know, at the top of their game when they have a chance to play in the NHL, but there's people behind those jerseys, too, that, right. you know, if you've got everybody on the right page, you know, you can do a lot of things.
But, you know, along those same lines about Claude Noel, what really impressed me most last year, you look at the Manitoba Moose, they were down 3-1 in their first round. They came back, won it in seven. They were down 3-1 again in their second round. They came back, and, I mean, they ended up losing, but in double overtime or whatever it was. It just seems to me like his players really bought into a system, and they, you know, they had all the reasons in the world to pack it in when they're down 3-1 in back-to-back series, yet they still tried to fight through the adversity and came, you know, within, you know, inches away from advancing to the third round.
Yeah, he's a player's coach, and, you know, you've got to give Keith McCambridge and Rick St. Croix a lot of credit on that aspect, too, where, you know, they got the players going. They were able to push the right buttons when needed. And, you know, all three of those individuals aren't guys that are hanging out with their players around the hotel or anything. Like, there was a good line there that the players knew that they were players, and the coaches knew that that kind of what they had to do. But at the end of the day, they all respected each other for the job that they had to do. And, you know, they came together. And, you know, I mentioned his name already. When Rick Rippon joined the hockey club, you know, everybody kind of seemed to jump on board, and he kind of knew what he had to do at the right point. And they had a lot of success when he was around the organization. So it worked out really well.
Munzee, you're around the team a lot, and you're going to be at rookie camp, as you mentioned, and at the rookie tournament, and then when main training camp opens. As far as the main training camp goes, oh, I hear a little something in the background.
Yeah, little guy's just getting a little excited on us.
Oh, okay, that's okay.
That's the reaction that most people have to Ezzy.
Yeah,
so
I hope I'm not
line.
Making anyone cry at your house. You know, as far as main training camp goes, What are some of the battles that you're most looking forward to, whether it's, you know, on forward or on defense, or maybe just a specific player that you're going to be watching?
Sorry, what was that again?
Oh, the question was in regards to training camp. We just wanted to get your thoughts on maybe some of the battles to look forward to, and maybe some of the players that you personally are going to be watching and maybe that fans should be watching.
Well, you know, I think you watch the whole roster. You know, it's kind of one of those rare scenarios here where when you look at the players that are coming into camp, they all bring something special to the table. You know, obviously, I think Andre Pavlik, who's going to be the number one goaltender. I think, obviously, Dustin Byfuglien for the persona that he brings in, the championship pedigree that he's been able to accomplish already, the captain, Andrew Ladd. You know, Eric Fehr's not going to be ready to go when training camp gets underway 100%, but when he's ready, you know, the local talent there. And then even just, you know, some of the young guys, you know, just kind of see how they fit. And but, you know, I've named a few names, but I don't think there's really one guy that you're going to be watching. I think it's just the whole organization. When you see that logo come onto the ice for the first time of main training camp with the veterans skating around MTS Center, it's going to be a pretty cool opportunity overall that, you know, it's here. You know, the NHL's in our city, and they're one of 30 teams now in the best league in the world, and we have an opportunity to see it firsthand.
Pretty cool when you think about it. Brian, where can they find you this week with the rookie camp?
Well, we'll be here on Sports Radio 1290. Obviously, Shane Natty are flying out with the hockey club coming up tomorrow. And we'll be in Penticton. We'll have the three games on the air. We've got a half-hour pregame show coming up on each night. 9 o'clock is our pregame show on Monday and Tuesday against San Jose and Edmonton. And then the last game they'll play before coming home is an afternoon game on Thursday. And it's a 1 o'clock start against Vancouver. That's going to kind of be the neat game for me, you know, just based on the fact where we talked about, you know, Claude Noel and many of the others inside the organization that have been able to move up with the Moose now to the Jets. Is I think there's five guys that played for the Moose last year that are on that Vancouver roster. So it'll be fun kind of seeing the first chapter of that Vancouver-Winnipeg rivalry, which I'm sure will be interesting here over the next couple of years.
Yep.
Yeah, without a doubt. After this year's awkward Southeast Division alignment, we can look forward to renewing that rivalry.
Well, it's not awkward when you get to go to Florida a few times in January.
Exactly. That's true. You know, exactly. That's but it's one of the perks.
Yeah, it is. You know, and that's the one thing I think that, you know, people got to be really excited about is we see the Eastern Conference this year at MTS Center so many times.
Yeah.
You know, we get to see Ovechkin coming in a minimum three. I don't think we'll see Sidney Crosby. I'd be shocked if we see him play before Christmas. But, you know, you've got the Tampas, you got the Rangers, you got Boston, you got Toronto, you got Montreal on opening night. We'll see all those teams a minimum twice during the regular season. And then next year when the Jets are in the Western Conference, we get all those Western teams. You see the Edmontons, the Calgarys, the San Jose's, the Detroit's, the Dallas's. You know, it's the fans right now have really hit a home run. There's no other market in the NHL really that's had an opportunity to get so in-depth and up to speed with what's going on across the league than what the Winnipeg and Manitoba fans will be able to see here coming up over the next two seasons. So it's great.
And we look forward to it getting underway, really, you know, this coming Monday with our first game. Brian Munns, voice of the Winnipeg Jets here on Sports Radio 1290. Thanks very much for joining us. Enjoy Penticton.
All right, guys, take care. Have a good weekend.
Thanks a lot. Brian. Take care.
Thanks, Brian. Yep.
Let's head to commercial break. When we come back, one final segment, cheers and jeers, all the good stuff left to come. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on Sports Radio 1290.
Over 3.5 billion fans worldwide, soccer is the most popular sport in the world. The Manitoba Soccer Association and Sports Radio 1290 encourage you to join in. Tuesday evenings from 9 to 9:30, listen to Between the Posts. We'll be highlighting what's going on in the world of soccer from across the globe to right here in Manitoba. Between the Posts, Tuesday evenings from 9 to 9:30 on Sports Radio 1290. British fare and Indian flair. Lunch or dinner, it's always delicious at the King's Head. Enjoy all your pub favorites like fish and chips and shepherd's pie alongside spicy curries. Grab lunch with your co-workers or unwind after work with friends. Check out the menu today at kingshead.ca. With live bands, remember the King's Head is the perfect venue for your birthday party, office, or other business parties. The King's Head Pub and Eatery, your downtown destination at 120 King Street. It's a good time, always. Join the Tavern United team for Bomber action all season long. Our next Team Tavern Blue Bombers game day bash is Sunday, September 11th. This Banjo Bowl is guaranteed to be a rough ride. Hustler and Lawless will be broadcasting live at Tijuana Yacht Club and Hacienda Patio next to Can-Am Stadium. Come down early and enter to win a Bomber jersey, game tickets, and a trip for two to the Grey Cup. Brought to you by the Winnipeg Free Press and Sports Radio 1290.
I'm swinging in the rain. Just swinging in the rain.
Rain drowning out your golf game? Weather or not, it's never a problem at the Golf Dome. Hit till your heart's content, no matter the forecast. At the Golf Dome, you pay by time, not by bucket. Play 18 holes of mini golf or check out the big screens in their fully licensed snack bar. And don't forget the Golf Dome's 5 virtual golf simulators. It's always a good time at the Golf Dome. The Bubble, just off Sterling Lyon Parkway.
Bring it to Boyd.
If your vehicle has suffered body or windshield damage, bring it to Boyd. If you want friendly, efficient service, bring it to Boyd. If you want your vehicle's advanced safety system repaired by expert technicians, bring it to Boyd. When you bring your vehicle to Boyd Auto Body and Glass, you'll see why Boyd is Manitoba's favorite choice for collision repair. Don't trust your investment to just anyone. Bring it to Boyd.
Bring it to Boyd. Insist on Boyd Auto Body and Glass.
There's a Boyd Auto Body and Glass near you.
Sure, you can do things the old-fashioned way. Or you can do it the steel way. Find the right tool for the job at Accurate Lawn and Garden, your steel dealer. Right now, get incredible prices on steel gas chainsaws, starting at just $229.95. Plus, for a limited time, Accurate will include a Wood Pro kit valued at $80, absolutely free. For all the details, visit Accurate Lawn and Garden, 344 Pemina, or at accuratelawn.ca.
Face off and be part of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show by calling 780-1290 now. Only on Sports Radio 1290.
Ruben Dell, Bobby Orr, back in 72.
Stop singing. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Truman Dell plays hockey like Bobby Orr.
Not quite. Not quite at all. And welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. One final segment. Let's go. It's called Rapid Fire. Let's do it.
Rapid Fire.
Corey Stillman retired from the NHL this week to take a job with the Florida Panthers.
Who are you going
to
draft in the pool this year, Drew? Drew took Corey Stillman in our hockey pools literally six years in a row. I think he's good for 60 points. What do you mean? He's a solid left winger on the second line.
I think you're confusing him and Cliff Ronning, to be perfectly honest.
Cliff Ronning, too.
Yeah. Anyways, name all the teams he played for.
Okay. Carolina.
St. Louis.
Calgary.
Florida.
Florida.
Tampa.
Somebody writing these down?
I think we got them all, didn't we? Is that a five? Five teams.
No, I think he played for more than that.
St. Louis?
How many different times did he play for Carolina?
Twice.
You don't count that twice.
Carolina, St. Louis, Tampa, Calgary, Carolina, St. Louis, Tampa, Calgary, and there's one other one, wasn't there? Florida. Five.
Is that it? There's more than that.
Any more?
No, I think that's about it. My computer's frozen. Oh, yeah, I can't answer the question right now. But I think there.
By the way, quickly back on my point before we're in rapid fire now. But
it's okay.
My point about the Red Wings.
Yeah.
I said they haven't drafted well recently, right?
Yeah.
On their roster right now, they have one player that they've drafted that's under 27.
Darren Helm?
Sorry, two. Helm and Ablocator. The rest are 27 and older.
And those
27 guys, and older guys. So it's not that they haven't drafted well in the past. Sure, they have a lot of their guys. But I talked about the last 10 years. You drafted a player at 18. These guys 27. They have two players. That's not good. And so when you're talking about the Red Wings, sure, they drafted well overall. But when we're talking about recently, no, they haven't.
And Richie, the problem with the Wings is Rafalski's retired, Draper's retired, Lindstrom retires.
They're taking a step back this year.
Well, not only that, I mean, they're not. The pipeline is bare.
That's exactly right.
Is what you're saying. Not only is the pipeline now bare, it's going to be bare.
That's right, exactly.
You know, guys, but just about Corey Stillman, he played 24 games in 07-08 for Ottawa.
That's right.
Free deadline acquisition,
right? Who was he traded for? Patrick Eves? And a second and third rounder?
So, Reem, he's played for six teams?
Yeah, I think so.
Patrick Eves in a third rounder, I think it was.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to put Drew on the spot here.
I'm going to not know the answer.
What player has played on the most teams overall ever, and whose record did he break? I know the answer.
Okay.
Oh, hold on.
Drew, this is for Drew. Okay. I know you know this.
Okay.
What player, is he still active?
What player in the history of the NHL has played for the most teams, and whose record did he break?
Okay. I know the answer. I don't know the second.
Hold on. No, this is for Drew. Let's just...
I have absolutely no idea.
Okay, it's Mike Sillinger.
That's right.
Okay, that makes sense.
13 teams, and he broke... Or 12 or 13, and he broke J.J. Daniels' record.
Wow. Okay.
And Brent Ashton had the record back in the day, too.
Former Jet.
And then back to Corey Stillman. It was Stillman and Commodore for Corvo and Eves.
Okay, Carbonius.
Okay.
Nice Gil Morgan.
Fedor Tuten re-signed with the Columbus Blue Jackets. 6 years, $27 million. Thoughts on the signing?
I love it.
It's a lot of cake. A lot of matzo balls, as Richie would say.
I love it. I mean, now what do you have Tuten? Now, of course, I don't have the computers down here, but what's that average cap hit? 6 years, 27?
A little over four, so 4.5, I think.
Yeah, 4.5 years, so 4 point, yeah. So 4.5 a year, and you're paying Wisniewski 5.5?
Yeah.
So you're paying $10 million bucks to, you're paying $10 million bucks to Tuten and Wisniewski? Like that, that's...
It's a lot of money for two defensemen who aren't your top two, who aren't good enough to be top two.
Scotty Housen, I thought would have done. I don't know.
They're desperate. That's what he need. They need to. To save the franchise. They need to at least get win a couple playoff games. To save the franchise, they need to win a couple playoff games.
They haven't ever. So
I just don't. That Columbus team. I mean, Jeff Carter is going to make a big difference there, obviously. But that Columbus team. Traded their best young asset in Voracek. Broussard hasn't turned into what they thought he would. Obviously, Rick Nash and Carter is a nice combination, but the amount of money they threw at Wisniewski is absurd. Absolutely absurd.
Considering he's actually not very good defensively.
And their cap management has been very poor. And their Steve Mason contract, after he had an awful year, giving him a 3-year deal like that was a bad contract. Their cap management, poor. And then a team that doesn't spend to the cap, and if it does spend a lot of money, it loses a lot of money because it loses it when it doesn't spend a lot. I mean,
they're not going to make the playoffs this year in the Western Conference. Absolutely not.
We'll save that for a preview show. Are we going to schedule that up?
I think it's going to be this.
What team is Saturday, October 1st,
if I'm not mistaken.
Drew, you tell me what team let alone make a playoff spot. They're not going to make the playoffs.
It's
the same thing.
No. I mean, you're saying they got to make the playoffs and win a game. I'm saying they won't even get that chance. Yeah.
Well, I don't necessarily. I don't necessarily.
Don't
think
put words into my mouth, Drew. Come on.
I don't think that they necessarily will make the playoffs. But the organization's mindset is we have to make the playoffs.
Let everybody know that we're gonna have our preview show on October 1st. We're gonna do our fantasy preview, which you do every year. It'll be 3 hours. It'll be the show to listen to before you do your draft.
Drew's gonna announce that he's gonna pick Corey Stillman.
That's right.
David Backes was named the St. Louis Blues captain.
David Backes, one of my favorite players. He's a rugged player. He's got, you know, pretty good hands, not amazing hands. Go to the net, strong, physical, skates well for a big guy. You know, a leader in that team. And I like the choice of naming David Backes captain here over a guy like Jason Arnett and Langenbrunner. They're in there to mold the team.
Langenbrunner was given an A.
But they're in there to mold the team. But you give it to the guy who's going to be
with
you
for a long
time.
He's the future of the team. And I think I was saying this off air before. I think Richie was the one that said that actually a few years ago when we were talking with the Blues. It's a young team, and it was a great choice. And Backes, even though he had some injury problems and consistency issues last year, that's the guy on the team. You know, we'll save this for the season preview show. That's another team that I'm a little bit mixed on. I think they could go either way. They could, you know, be... 6 or 7 team in the West, or they could not make the playoffs again. But
we've been waiting for them every year for the last 5 years. Yeah.
Well, that's what we say. You know, how much is the youth realize?
Anthony Stewart is, Chris Stewart.
I like that trade too. Yeah. Let's finish up the show. It's called Cheers and Jeers.
Cheers. Congratulations.
He's brilliant.
He's a good guy.
And jeers.
No, not good enough.
He's a bad boy.
I never seen something stinks like this.
Surprisingly not good.
The man to my immediate left, Ezra Ginsberg.
You know, we've been off the air for 2.5 weeks, and you know, again, I'll give my condolences to everyone who's affected by the KHL plane crash in Russia. You know, I'm gonna cheer to the way that the Russian League has responded. They've said that they're going to allow, and the teams have already agreed to give certain players.
They announced this morning that their locomotive will not play in the KHL this year.
Oh, sorry. Well, that wasn't the case yesterday.
It used to be before that they were going to loan them two players to get them on fielded for this season, but they announced this year that they're not going to play, which is, I think, personally, it's the right decision, but that's
right.
Just
but the gesture, the willingness gesture, for the hockey community in Russia and all of the teams to be willing to donate players, but that was going to be my cheer. But if that's not the case, then I stand corrected.
I was actually going along the same lines of the players to volunteer to do so. I mean, guys closer to home, Brad McCrimmon, and you know, cheering what they contributed to the game and to people's lives. good articles in the Globe, but, you know, regarding how he affected Gary Suter and how he you know, improved his career, as well as Igor Korolev, a guy who played here for a few years, played with Alexei Zhaminov and guys like that, number 23. Always respectful. He's actually written about extensively in that King of Russia book because Dave King coaches him that year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, respected veteran, worked hard, young guy here, worked hard, nice in the community by all accounts, and, you know, that's it. Unfortunate. It's not. It's a cheer to what they contributed, but it's unfortunate.
It's tragic situations, yeah. Obviously. I'm going to wrap up cheers and jeers. I'm going to jeer both the NHL and the NHLPA for their refusal to confront the issues that are affecting this game that we love so dearly, be it the brain damage from headshots, be it the apparent prescription drug problem that exists in dressing rooms. This game is great, but it does have problems, and to pretend it doesn't have problems is a dereliction of their duty, and they need to realize that, and they need to tackle these problems head on so that the game will flourish for the next century and longer after that.
We got a new start time.
That's right. New start time, 12 noon next Saturday.
Next week.
Next Saturday, yep. Noon to 3 here on Sports Radio 1290. Before we get to next Saturday, let's thank the guests from this Saturday. Brian Munns, the voice of the Winnipeg Jets here on Sports Radio 1290, joined us. Thank you to him. Jamie McLennan of TSN joined us. A big thank you to him, of course.
Go see Contagion.
Go see Contagion, Jamie, or go have the popcorn at least at the movie theater at the very least. Exactly right. In case you missed any of this program, it will be available for download on iTunes. Search for the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on iTunes. Subscribe and get the podcast sent to your iPod each and every week. Follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/IllegalCurve. And, of course, check out www.illegalcurve.com every day, multiple times per day, updated with all your latest Winnipeg Jets news and information. For Ezra Ginsberg, for Richard Pollock, for Michael Remus, the operator of the R-Desk, and for producer Tim, who gets us on and off the air like the expert he is, my name is Drew Mindell. And if it's Saturday, it's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Been listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Join us again for serious hockey talk Saturday morning at 9, exclusively on Sports Radio 1290.